Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Guy, you got me doing 5 drops this week? 6? Damn. Week 26 of 50. New tattoo. The session plus scoreboard check part 1. It's 4:24 p.m. on Sunday, June 27th. I'm at the Venetian. I'm going to play a couple hours of red chip poker here, then have dinner somewhere and hopefully play bigger somewhere that is not the Venetian afterwards. And, oh yeah, I'm starting this session out on tilt. The patrons know why. Because I covered it in this week's lead out segment just a couple days ago on their RSS feeds. Let's get right to it. First hand that I am dealt in, I open with pocket fives. And I get 3 callers. And I'm thinking, let's go. You know, let's get something going. A fucking heater. A real one. Where you just flop a set and you double up right away, and then you never look back. Sound guy, what is this? Eminem? What's he doing here? Well, tell me. What's up, Em? Well, yeah, welcome, man. It's this granny flat is filling up, but what do you say? Guess who's back again. I'm not sure what you mean, but make yourself at home in this granny flat. Anyways, back to the hand. It's a 4-way bloater, and I have pocket fives. First hand of the session. Let's go. The flop comes down. Oh shit, Cinny, that's who's back. Welcome back, Cinny. What have you been up to? Okay, cool. So pocket fives did not work on the first hand dealt to me in this session, and that's okay. And luckily, I did not have to wait long to play another good hand. The second hand I was dealt, I open ace 10 of hearts. And I get 3 callers yet again. So another little bloater with a good hand for a bloater situation. And this flop came down for me. Sound guy. We told her we'd get her more lines. And we also said we'd push her design on poker rags. But anyways, it's good that I'm missing flops to start this session, if you think about it. And also, I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to wear out her voice. So the next hand that I V-pipped, I defended my big blind multi-way with a red 7-5, and it came down ace, king, 8, all spades. Yeah. Anyways, there was this lady in the game. We'll call her Awesome Lady. She's wearing a mask, and she's probably conservative in some aspects of life, and she's not conservative at the poker table. She was in there. She had called a raise with 9 deuce of spades, and that's just a great hand to call a raise with, of course, and she flopped a flush and somehow got value when another spade came, and Cindy, you would have hated this lady. She flopped a flush, but I loved her. She really, and I mean that, she had an amazing spirit. She was just kind of funny and kind of crazy. And I don't know. And what? You don't care about that. You just like people who miss flops? Understood. Anyways, I get dealt the N-word, the one that Cindy uses, up until my next big blind. And I have ace 9 offsuit. And there is limpage everywhere. So what do? I just, you know, put on a serious face for a couple seconds and I pop it big. I just want to win all the money that's out there and then we go to the next hand. Because ace 9 offsuit isn't a great hand to play, but it's probably the best hand here, and if not, I'm just going to win by making it a lot. And a new guy at our table, he's wearing a White Sox hat, this kind of built black dude. He had limped first, and he after the hand, he said he folded pocket tens. And I said, oh. And I said, I had slick. I don't know. I was told, I don't want to make him feel bad, and it seems weird to limp pocket tens and fold to a raise. Who knows? Let's do a roll call, though, just to, like, set the scene, set the stage, whatever they call it. Seat one is your protagonist, Dragon Man. Seat two, the expert witness. This is a gentleman, maybe late 50s, early 60s, and he's an expert witness. I was talking to him for a while. He's an expert witness in the insurance game. Really nice guy. Seat three is Abreu. That's the built dude with the White Sox hat. That was the only White Sox player I could think of was Abreu. And I don't even know his first name. You know, the White Sox aren't that great. Anyways, and then next to him is the awesome lady. And it's just maybe a late 50s, early 60s Asian woman. Kind of got some wild hair. She's wearing a mask. She's in there. She's hilarious unintentionally. I love her. She's awesome. And then the next player to her left is Mr. Threesome. And I don't know much about this guy, but he was on the phone and he told the table that it was his wife's best friend and she was drunk and his wife was asleep and, you know, she was upset and calling him about whatever. And so with this limited information, I named him Mr. Threesome. Yeah. Next player, I named CEO Golfer. So this guy carries himself like a CEO. Very, poised. And he's also wearing a golf shirt. So it seems like he's a CEO in town for maybe a convention or a meeting. And he also enjoys golf and maybe played around already today. I don't know. CEO golfer. And then the next player is the waiter. And this guy doesn't work at a restaurant that I know, but it's a young black dude with glasses leaning back and has his arms crossed. And he's going to wait for a good hand. He just is. He's not hiding that at all. And then the last player is Poker Man. And that's just an older guy in a wind poker hat. Okay. And now it's time for a sip of coffee. There's a lot of people in this granny flat now. I gotta say, it's kind of nice. Well, it's obviously nice having Cine back. Sound guy's been on his best behavior, I think. You know, it's nice Eminem's here, and it's cool. And it seems like other people are here. I don't know. I'm focused on this podcast. It's, you know, spewing into this microphone. I don't know what's going on in my bedroom, stuff like that. Who knows? But I get in this session, the next hand I play is pocket aces. That's strong hand, and I win $15 against, you know, the CEO golfer defended, and he folded the flop. Okay. All right. The next hand that I play, because I'm a tag now, I play good hands. I squeeze with shitty hands, so sometimes I'm dog shit aggressive, D-sag, but mostly I'm tag in these full ring games. I just am. I V-pip lower than most players, and if you take out my egregious squeezes, which are almost always with dog shit hands, and they almost always work, you'd say I'm very taggy. King Jack of Hearts is a good hand. Well, now a bunch of people call, right? So more than three callers. We got a multi-way bloater. King Jack of Hearts. And the flop, so the flop was DJ, you're still here? I thought your girlfriend let you back in. Oh. All right, cool. Thanks. Yeah, the flop was nothing. Sound. Did you see Cindy's look right there? Just keep an eye on them. I think DJ's in trouble. She looks pissed, man. Okay. Anyways, the next note is a note that for a hand I'm not even involved in. And Poker Man, so sometimes I write notes in the middle of the hand. I just want to, like, put my reads out there. I know it doesn't really mean anything. To me, it does. Like, the middle of the hand, I want to say what people have. And I say, Poker Man and Expert Witness are going to get it in with the cooler, which is aces against kings, right? You just know when that happens at a table where people aren't really going for it otherwise. And what had happened was Poker Man, older guy wearing a wind poker hat, had opened, and the expert witness 3-bet big, and then Poker Man 4-bet pretty big, and you know, I could see when he 4-bet that expert winners was going to jam. And he's probably, his 3-bet range is probably really narrow anyways. And I just knew he was going to jam, and he did. And the poker man folded. So I found that interesting. Where this has always been king-king versus ace-ace, it was king-king versus not ace-ace. I don't know what poker man was doing. I don't know if he was, you know, if he was just taking like a hand like ace queen and going crazy with, I don't know what he was doing, but it was interesting to me. And then I wrote, okay, let it be. And no, John Lennon's not here. He's passed away. But I need to chill on the notes is what I meant. Cause I was taking notes on everything. And, but now I'm gonna get more in rhythm with the game. I'm going to play better. I'm going to take the occasional note. And the next note I wrote was, Abreu didn't have tens. So this guy is all over the place, right? The first hand, he limped and folded and said he had tens. And I was like, okay, I had slick, right? Well, he's all over the place. He's in every pot. He's doing some really silly stuff. And then the next note is, threesome is very drunk. And the next note is, Mrs. Abreu shows up. And she asks how her hubby is running. Well, she says, how's he doing? And he's up at the cage getting more chips at this point. And she kind of smiles. And it turns out it was not his wife. It was he's an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. And he gave her a ride from the airport to the Wynn. And she satellited into the 10K. And she wanted to come see how he was doing. Maybe, you know, she thought he was a good luck charm. Or maybe she was looking for love. Who knows? But the next note is a sad note. It's one of the sadder notes you will hear in this podcast. The awesome lady gets it in with the nuts on the turn against threesome. They both have the nuts. They both have king, queen on ace, 10, jack, x, right? But there are two spades out there, and threesome has king, queen of spades. And, you know, it's a... She had 1K and it's all in, and he had her covered, and the river's a spade. And awesome lady gets stacked by the drunk guy who's just winning all the money. And there's always a chosen one at every table, and that seems to be him. And then I have a jack 10 in a multi-way pot, and yep, unfortunately. Cindy, what's going on with you and DJ? Where is he? I don't even hear him or see him. Oh, okay. Sound guy, we need to make sure that DJ's okay after this. Cindy has that look in her eye like she just killed a man. I don't know. The next note is expert, so nice. So there are people that still play poker and buy in for $1,000 that are happy to just be there and interact and be human beings at the table. And Abreu is losing a lot. And he keeps saving Abreu, like, you know, he's flopping a set and betting a lot and saying, you should fold, right? And it's just, it's nice to see, right, that this still exists. And it won't exist at higher levels if and when I ever fucking get there. But that's the plan. The plan is to play bigger. And I'll just foreshadow that I'll be playing much bigger in next week's session. Anyways, it's time for my best play. And it's, yeah, well, it's just everyone limps because that's what they do. And then the waiter plays his first hand. So this is a young black dude wearing glasses, and he's got his arms crossed, and he's leaning back, and he's just watching, right? And this is like, this guy's just going to get his money in good, right? And he's the waiter. He's waiting. Well, he finally, after all the limpage, goes to 25 on the button. Okay, and what happens? Well, I'm in the big blind with ace queen, and I do not, in the small blind calls, I do not, that's poker man, I do not 3-bet here. Why? Well, this is the first hand this guy's played. I don't know, like, I don't know if he knows, like, the button's a good spot, or maybe he's just playing, like, the nuts, he bought in short, whatever. I don't 3-bet for a few reasons. He's the one guy that seems the tightest at the table. And it's just, you know, there's a bunch of characters that I limped. And if I call, they call. And ace queen's still a hand that can, you know, that can cooler someone. I can flop a queen or an ace, you know. And and get the money from, you know, queen three suited or whatever that's in there for sure. I don't know. I decided to just flat. That's not amazing. You know, there's merit to three betting. Those are your choices, three bet or flat. I decided to flat here. I think it's better than three betting, you know, but that's not why it's my best play. I'll tell you why it's my best play. The flop comes 8-7-4, which, you know, is the N word. And we all check. Okay. And then the turn is a 5. So it's 8-7-4-5. I have ace queen. Good job, dealer. And we check. And now it checks all the way to the waiter on the button. And he forceful bets. This is so I already know that he's a tight player. He's a new player. He doesn't understand like repping shit and whatnot. But he does understand play tight. He's got the preflop shit down, the hand selection shit down, I would say. And he forceful bets here. Well, I always want to at least call here because I know what he has. I know he doesn't have anything, right? I want to at least call or maybe raise, but I fold. Why? Because it's not a heads-up pot. And this is a mistake I've made a ton in full ring is I'm just not accounting for the other players, right? All the leverage this guy has. He has all these ridiculous characters, and I mean that in a loving way, that are behind me. So I just have to fold, even though I know he's forceful here, and that means he doesn't have shit, right? And I can't raise because if any one of these players has a pair and a straight draw or a straight already, they're obviously never folding. And I don't know. I got the awesome lady. She's in there with every. This board 8-7-4-5 just mashes all these people's ranges. And I was when I see him forceful bet, and I know that it's time for me to just win this pot, and probably with a raise because I would hate to just call and lose the ace king, right? And I folded. I was so proud of myself. And you know, like the awesome lady snap called, and the CEO golfer was in there, and like you know, it's just. It was my best play. I don't know. For this drop, right? I don't know. It's not amazing, but I always want to pounce. And that comes from the period of my career where I just played heads up, where you just do pounce every single time. Pounce, 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 pounce. You know what they have, go get, right? But in full ring, well, there's other people to deal with, and they're just going to play their hands, you know, passively, and they're going to be sticky, and I don't know. It's not – I didn't win an award for this play, but it was my best play of this drop. Yeah, and then I have a conversation with the awesome lady. She plays some ridiculous hand against someone, and she says, I just follow the book. So she's just the best. She says the book – I love suited cards, and I don't know what book that is, but it sounds like a good book. And then I flop a flush draw as the preflop raiser, and it's just a heads-up pot, and I just overbet the pot. I really love that at this level, and probably higher levels too. I just really love overbetting my flush draws on the flop where, you know, it's not like we're super deep where I could get coolered by a bigger flush. No, it's just... I really love it because you're going to get so many folds. And when you don't, then you can take your free card on the turn. It's just like a return to the old school. But you have in the old school, like a limit before there was no limit. You bet, you semi bluff the flop and then you take your free card on the turn back in the day. Right. Well, here you do that, but you overbet because you want to just win. Right. Because you don't, you know, it's hard to hit a flush. And you just want to win now. And you prefer that, right? But your backup plan is pretty great too. You have a lot of equity if the person calls. And you know they have a strong hand. And you can just take your free card. And then on the river, if you're a lag like me or a D-sag, whatever. I guess I'm not a lag anymore. I'm a D-sag or a tag. But anyways, I'm the one who bluffs a lot, right? So I can bink the river and still get value. I can just decide on a sizing. You know, that this person will call with their pair and say, fuck it, I have to see this guy's cards. Right. Well, anyways, the person folded. So I like that a lot. Just, you know, I flop a flush draw and I overbet in position. And then I'm just going to, it's just so good. And then it's, you know, there's balance. There's yin and there's yang. And now it's time for my worst play. Okay. So I open with ace king and I've been missing flops pretty hardcore in this session. And that's going to happen in many sessions, of course. And I Well, now the CEO golfer lead, it's me, the awesome lady, and the CEO golfer. I have ace king, and I have the king of diamonds, and the flop comes 9-6-3 with two diamonds. And he leads very weak. So I open, awesome lady called behind, and this guy defended out of the blinds, CEO golfer. And he leads very weak on 9-6-3, two diamonds. I have ace king with king of diamonds. I guess I could fold. I just overbet, so it's not a good spot for me to bluff. And with this particular cast of characters, but I think I can just call here. And you know, if she folds, God willing, on the turn I can win. In a heads up spot, I will bluff. I don't know. Let's just, you know, see what happens. You bet very weak on 9-6-3 with two diamonds, and I have ace king with king of diamonds. And yeah, I wish the flop came 10 jack queen, but it didn't. It came 9-6-3, two diamonds. He leads, weak, I call, she calls. I know she has a flush draw. When she calls, I know she has a flush draw. Why? I've been at a poker table more than anyone you've ever met in your life, unless you've met fucking Doyle Brunson. Okay. And so that's cool, right? And then the turn is an offsuit jack. And now this guy checks, and I check. I have ace king. It's 9-6. I'm the dickhead who can't fold ace king. It's 9-6-3 jack. And it was two diamonds on the flop. And this is an offsuit jack. And now the awesome lady, she's been getting beat up a little bit. She shoves for, you know, it's like maybe a little less than pot. And he folds. You know, so he was weak. He just snap folds. Who knows what he had. He might have had 5-4 or something like that. He snap folds. And since I knew she had a flush draw on the flop, I pay it off here with ace high. The nut ace high. And but it doesn't feel right. I call, and she has jack eight of diamonds. So she binked a jack on the turn. And is that the end of the world when you know she has a flush draw on the flop, and then the only way you're losing is if she turned a pair? It kind of is the end of the world. If you are sick and fucking tired of being broke and in debt, and you're good enough to play better, you should play better. I should have pieced it together. Of course, if she didn't hit a jack on the turn, she's not shoving. She's just trying to hit her flush. She's checking. Right. But since she hit her top, now is top pair. Now she's shoving because, oh my God, top pair plus flush draw. And I should have put that together. Right. And obviously, if the CEO golfer called her shove, I would fold with ace king on 9-6-3, two diamonds and a jack, an offsuit jack. But once he folded, now it's, what does she have? Well, I know she has a flush draw. And so it's, you know, I beat all of those except for the one that just turned a fucking pair of jacks, which she did. And the next note is all caps, money behind. Okay. So, session's not going well, but they don't all go well, do they now? Okay. The next hand, you know, in poker is sometimes like, oh, I flopped a set. I flopped two pair. There are sessions where you're just like, how can I extract value, right? And then there are sessions where you're like, will I ever win one fucking hand, like, straight up, aside from stealing or bluff catching? And this seems like one of those, right? So I money behind, and now Abreu opens to 35 in a 3-5 game. I might have said it was 2-5. It's 3-5. This is the big game at the Venetian right now. And there are bigger games, sometimes 5-10. I've been in a couple of those lately. But anyways, it's 3-5 before I go to dinner. And then the plan is to play bigger after dinner. And you have to hear about that, you know. If you have to stay tuned. So Abreu opens to $35 because, you know, it's 7x and 35 seems like a good amount for him. And I have ace queen and I just defend. Right? I'll call 30 more with ace queen offsuit. I don't know what to do against 7x. And the flop comes king 10-4. So I have a gut shot to the nuts. And I check and Abreu checks. Interesting. The turn is a 10, and I check, and he forceful bets. Okay, this is weird. Like, his check back on the flop was kind of scary. I mean, not scary, but disconcerting would be a good word, maybe. I got to work on my vocabulary. I'm a podcaster with a fucking fourth grade vocabulary. That's not good. Anyways, he checked king 10-4, but now he forceful bets the 10. And so at this level, it could be someone like not knowing what they're protecting against. Like that 10 could be a scary card for aces or ace king in his mind, even though it's not, even though he's way ahead. But he forced, this guy's too all over the place. I call. Okay. And then the river is an X, and I check, and he forceful bets pot. And I don't believe you, Abreu. And I call, and he had queen jack. So I went with ace high. So some sessions are like this, where you just have to, you have to play your best. You have to go with your reads. And I fucked up by not reading that she turned a jack in the hand before, but I had this guy pegged. I mean, not literally. I did not peg this guy. In case there's lots of peggers in the DGF community, and there's no judgment. Edonk likes a good peg, and other people in Chicago mainly, but I didn't peg him in that way, but I did peg him for bluffing, if that makes sense. Okay. And then I fold for a while, because that's what you do at a poker table. You fold more than you play. So it's wrong when people say, I'm gonna go play poker. No, I'm gonna go fold starting hands, or I'm gonna go fold. I'm gonna go give my cards back to the dealer a lot. And that's what you do. And so I'm just folding and playing switch thumb. And then I finally get a monster, queen nine of hearts. Mm-hmm. And I open that bad boy. And I get three calls. Average is four-way pots. Still, in this day and age, in red chip, good games. And the flop comes king, jack, X with one heart. Not the worst flop I've ever seen. Not the best. And CEO golfer checks. I check because I got two behind me, and it's like Abreu or, so, you know, it's, I know the awesome lady's in there. She's on the button. Someone else. I'm just not betting this weak gut shot and backdoor flush draw here. I might check call, but I'm not going to bet. Well, everyone checks. Okay, good. It seems like no one has much. The turn is a brick. And CEO golfer checks, and I got two people behind, including a very sticky, awesome lady on the button. So I just bet twice the pot, because if you can't bust down a wall with your or a door with your shoulder, you go and get one of those things the cops have, those giant things they jam through the door, right? I can't get them to fucking fold with a normal size bet, so I'm just gonna bet twice the pot, and it worked. And that's how this session is starting. Or, yeah, this is going to be a long session. I'm going to play. I'm going to go to dinner. I'm going to play some more. And, yeah. And then I wrote, I can't believe this is a real money table. So, it means it's very good. It's just a very good game for people who are buying in for 500 or 1,000, right? That's still real money. And even, I felt like I should be like putting my foot down a little bit more. I need to make this third rise. I need to be playing higher, especially since I've been doing well in recent months. I should be at the Bellagio, but I didn't have any fire on this day. I just felt exhausted. And when I knew I was going to have to put in a session, but I just felt exhausted. And I knew I should, I just wanted to like play an easy game and then have dinner and then hopefully get some energy, a second win, and then play bigger, right? And but I do have tilt, remember, to start this session. Which is not the fire you want. You want the fire like you just won a session, your last session. You watched some streaming poker, the best players in the world, and you saw that they weren't playing that good. And that's the fire you want. You go in there, you're going to fucking fuck people up. You don't want the fire of people weighing on you. You don't want like stuff that's really fucking hurtful and annoying on a personal level. Well, I have that, but not the good fire. The good fire of, man, people still suck at this game in 2021. Even the best players are not that great. Let's go. That kind of fire. I didn't have it. No, I was tired in Vegas. You know that story. Well, I button straddle and awesome lady limps. I can't tell you how awesome this lady is. I wish I could play poker with her every day. I mean, not just because she's, you know, I might be better than her, but she's just awesome. And now the action skips over my button straddle. And the expert witness raises from the small blind. Interesting. She calls. I call with pocket nines. He's a very tight player. Flop comes jack 4-3, two spades. I don't have a fucking spade, but I do have pocket nines. And he leads. I don't have a read on it. I don't know if it's strong. I don't know if it's weak. It's somewhere in between. I'm undecided. She calls. That doesn't mean anything to me. And I call. Okay, so I overcalled nines on jack 4-3, two spades. The turn is an interesting card. It's the jack of spades, okay? And now he checks, and she bets, and I just don't believe her. I'm sitting across from her. I just, you know, this might be a spot to fold red nines on jack 4-3, two spades. When someone led, someone called and you overcalled, turns a jack of spades and the preflop raise are checked. And it's, but it didn't seem like it. I wasn't sold on his hand. I'm not sold on her hand. I call and he folds. Okay, good. I wanted him to fold and he did. And the river's an X and she checks. And I'm happy just to show it down. I check and she just has ace, queen. So I win with my pair of nines. And, you know, sometimes poker is hard like this. I think it's more rewarding, not on a financial level, obviously, but on some kind of, it's more satisfying to your brain, like when you're able to win pots, like in where you're just making good calls and good folds and good steals, instead of when you're like, well, I just flopped against a whale. I just flopped a huge hand and took all his money. I don't know. But on that note of just, you know, manufacturing, the next note is steal four ways in position on the flop. Because they all telegraphed. The flop came down and I'm getting more locked and they all telegraphed. They didn't like it, right? And so I just bet and won. And you know what I had? Cinny, tell the people what I had. That's right. I didn't care. I knew they didn't have anything, so I just bet and won. But are you sure you're okay? You look... What happened with you and DJ? He left? Did you force him out of here? Well, he took your spot? You ran off. Okay, we'll talk... We'll talk about it after. Do you mind if I finish this? Thank you. Okay. Now, the CEO golfer gets coolered for stacks by awesome lady. So, she's running it up now. She's had some mishaps, but she's following the book. That's what she told me she does, and I love her for that. And that's good. And she coolers the CEO golfer. And so, if you're rich and accomplished and you just play golf and you're sitting at a table with people who are less rich and less accomplished, that's going to make you mad, especially if the awesome lady stacks your ass. And so he reloads for the full amount, right? And now it's time for the crucial hand of part one, right? And the awesome lady limps. She's got fresh chips. She's got, you know, over 2K now, and he goes to 25, the CEO golfer. Of course he does. He's angry, right? Which is fair. And I look down in the big blind at pocket kings. And so this is an interesting spot. He's light. He's raising a hand he doesn't usually raise because he's mad. And he's a human being. And he got stacked by the awesome lady. She's in there with God knows what. She's a hell of a person to play a hand with. This hand is susceptible. You don't, you know, it's not a, you would prefer to play it heads up, or you would prefer there'd be a lot of money in there before the flop. I don't know. Like, I almost want a min raise. I almost want to just make it 50, and then we each have, all three of us are in there with 50, and I have kings, and it crossed my mind. I don't want to lose the lady, but then again, it's such a good hand, and this guy's not folding to a three bet if I go to 100, because he's angry. He's not like being a jerk or anything, but you can, you know, he's on tilt. And so I'm thinking like 100 might work. I might get both of them there for 100. Now we got 300 in the pot. I have kings and like, let's just, I can play poker, right? I go to 100 and she tanks and she says, almost, but I just got my money back. You know, that's how great she is. And she folds. And this guy calls, of course, immediately. The CEO golfer. And I have pocket kings. That's the second best hand the dealer can give you. And that's good. I got, you know, there's 200 and change in the pot. And I got a tilted opponent who has lots of money. And I'm poor and I need to get this. Okay. The flop comes ace 5-3 with two diamonds. Not your best flop with pocket kings. And I check. And this guy puts out a stack. He bets 95. Not intentionally. He just pushed out a stack, right? Ace 5-3, two diamonds. And... it doesn't seem, it seemed too quick to be an ace. It doesn't seem like an ace. So I call. And now we got about 400 in the pot. And the turn is a three. So I'm going to rewind this one because it's a crucial hand. The Awesome Lady just coolered the shit out of CEO Golfer and stacked his ass for a big pot, and he reloaded for a lot of money, because he's got a lot of money. He's angry. Now she limps, and he 5Xs that shit, which feels like with a very wide range and maybe light here. Maybe if he had a good hand, he would have done some things differently. I don't know. It seems light to me. I have kings. It's quite the conundrum. I don't want to lose the lady because she's awesome, but I also just want to get some money in before I make it 100. She almost calls. She folds. Fine. He calls. Good. Heads up. Out of position. Kings against a tilted rich guy. Let's go. Flop is not great for kings. Ace, 5-3, 2 diamonds. I check. He bets 95. Well, he just pushes the stack out there and it's one short. It doesn't, by his, you know, the pace and everything, look on his face, it doesn't seem like an ace to me. I don't know enough yet, but it doesn't seem like an ace to me. I'm going to call, right? And he's on tilt. If he's not on tilt, I might fold to a bet on the flop. But I know he's on tilt. And yeah, I got kings, ace, 5-3, 2 diamonds. And so now we got $400 in the pot. And the turn pairs the bottom card, the 3. Okay. And now I check again. And he kind of forceful bets 225. And what is he repping here? All of you, or most of you, are poker enthusiasts, at least. Some of you are poker professionals. What is he repping when he opens, you know, he tries to isolate the awesome lady who just stacked him, and I go to 100, and she folds, and he calls, and comes ace, 5-3, 2 diamonds, and I check, and he tries to bet 100, but he bets 95, and I call, and the turn pairs the bottom card, 3, I check, and he fires 225. What is he repping? The answer is nothing. Sorry, Cindy. I did that one. I'm sorry. But he's not repping anything, right? No one fires here. You know, he just quickly fires 225. He's not repping anything. He certainly doesn't have an ace, because I have the stronger range pre-flop, and I could easily be playing ace-king this way. And if he has a hand like, if he has a 3 somehow or pocket 5, he's going to give me some kind of Hollywood job. Just like a fucking 2 seconds of one. Name one player that doesn't give you at least 2 seconds of a Hollywood job with a huge hand. There isn't one, right? And so now I'm happy. So I, you know, I feign weakness and I call the 225, right? And then the river is not my favorite card at all. It's the 7 of diamonds. It completes 6-4, and it completes any diamond draw. I check, and he bets $375. And I have to think. I rarely go in the tank, and the tank for me is usually 30 seconds max. But I have to think, and I can think pretty quickly. And so I go through the filters, and I am worried about 6-4, and I'm kind of worried about diamonds. But most people do take their free card at this level with draws, the diamond draw especially, but maybe with 6-4. And you know, how much is in the pot? Like, there was 400, and then we put 450 in there. That's 850, and then 375 is 1225. It's 375 to win 1225. I don't like it, but I think I need to call, right? I don't predict I win, but I predict I win enough that I have to call, and that's fucking David Sklansky Poker 101 pot odd shit, right? But I do think for a bit, and so it's tough because people don't bluff rivers very often. This is a candidate too, because he is tilting and he's rich. And when you're tilting, you just, everything goes out the window. But also, he could have just made a flush or a straight, but also people don't usually bet those hands on the turn. In this spot, and it's just a lot to think about, and you gotta say, I call and I expect to lose. I expect you to have 6-4 or diamonds, and I don't say that out loud. I say, okay, I call, and he has queen 9 of diamonds. So I lose another big pot, and I'm losing, you know, I'm stuck in this session pretty good, and I'm running not well at all. I'm running like I didn't get enough potassium, and my calf muscles are cramping up. That's how I'm running, if that makes any sense. And now I got, so he wins, and now he's off tilt. That's how poker goes. He's off tilt, and now I'm on tilt. The shit that was weighing on me before the session started is now it's, I had pushed it down, and now it's out there. Now I'm ready to fucking wrestle a grizzly bear. I order 2 beers. I know I need to take a break. right? I need to go. I have like $200 in front of me. I need to take, I need to take a break and then go to dinner and then regroup, right? You shouldn't play when you're on tilt, but when you're a professional poker player, which I don't recommend you do, sometimes you got to play when you shouldn't play. And that's the case. That was the case in this night. And I mean, it was fine that I was going to go play even though I was tired. But then once I had to deal with some shit that was weighing on me on a personal level, that's when you say, I'm not playing. I'm going to just chill and drink or whatever. And anyways, it's not the reason I ran poorly in this session. I played fine. I could have played better, but I played fine. And it's just part one of three. So the session's going to go a lot longer. And ordered two beers from the waitress. And, you know, Venetian has the best service overall. This lady was like, I'm too busy. You can't have two beers. And I said, okay, well, one of them's for the expert witness. And she's like, okay. They never believe you, but they're not gonna fight you on that. And the expert witness was up doing something. So I hope she brings him back before he returns, because he seems like a very honest guy, and I don't want him to tell her that he's not drinking a Heineken. But I want two beers. I want to go to the sports book and just fucking decompress the session, the shit that's weighing on me inside, all that, right? And anyways, I'm just sitting there with a little nub stack. I'm not doing money behind again. I've already done it several times, and I've only been there for like an hour and a half maybe, and I'm not doing it, right? I'm just bringing my two beers, and I'm gone. And you gotta get them for two beer. Drinks are free. You gotta get two on your way out. That's a pro tip right there. That's some live pro shit. And she finally comes, and she has three Heinekens on her tray, and she like gets close to the table. One of them falls over onto the table, spills all over the expert witness's chips and his area, and he's still gone. And that's unfortunate. She says, well, I still do have two. I said, good. And I throw a Redbird. I grab those two, and I'm gone. And the beers are warm. God damn it. Warm beer. It's pretty fitting, you know, for this intermission. And this is definitely an intermission. There's going to be a lot more poker in this session, and it's going to get bigger at some point. And, you know, I'm down a life. I guess I played for 2 hours. I'm down a life. And then I'll just tell you what I did after that. I went with my two Heinekens. I cashed my little nub stack out, and I went with my two Heinekens. I took a piss, and I went to the sports book. I already have action on everything. That's I do. I do it neutral EV, though. So, you know, whatever. And I'm betting with Macaroni in DGF community. That's the guy. He books all bets. You know, he's not making any money on it. You know, he's making, it's just neutral, but he's just cool like that. And I tell him, look, man, I'm going to chase my poker loss with you. And he's up a lot on me overall. It's fine. And I fire Milwaukee versus Atlanta in game three. And I also fire the under, and those come in pretty easily. And I win two lives in sports on this day. And I have, when my entire life, when I've ramped up the betting, like when I'm on tilt, chasing, whatever you want to call it, I've just lost always. It was very refreshing to win one. I still didn't feel good about the shit, you know, going on in my life or whatever. And you can judge that if you want, me going to the sports book and needing to have beers and fire. But I encourage people, if they are going to judge others, well, then they must realize that they believe that free will is easy, that it comes easy to people. And, you know, that's, I don't know, personally, I don't think it is. But if you do judge people, you must believe in free will. Otherwise, then you're just silly, right? You must believe it's there. You do. And if you do, I'm going to encourage you to fix, you know, your flaws, change your bad habits. Just do it. It's time, right? Anyways, I went and ate dinner at Gorilla Sushi. Yeah, it's still the best all-you-can-eat place. It's not the same as it used to be. I used to get fucking special treatment there, and I paid for it. Well, that's gone. It's still the best all-you-can-eat. And then after that, it was time to go check out Resorts World. I never checked it out yet. It's just been open for maybe a week. And yeah, I want to go play poker over there. They got a 5-10 game. Good. And let's go over there. And I need to digest. So I want to check out the place a little bit. And I go into the sports book. Not to fire. It's too late to fire. All the sports are in bed for the night. But their sports book is also like a big live music bar. And there's a country band playing on this night. I don't love country music, to be honest. I don't even like it. But I do like live music in general. And it's just a beautiful space, right? It's wide open, high ceilings. It feels different in Resorts World. And it's just it's more relaxing to me. And it's cool. Like, this band's good. They're country, but they're going to play some rock and roll stuff too. And I just want to have some drinks in there. I need to drink. I got some shit weighing on me and not just running bad and, you know, losing with, did I even tell that hand? Did I fuck that up? Before the CEO golfer got coolered by the awesome lady, I lost $100 with aces to his 10-9 offsuit. So I opened and he defended and it came queen 10-9 and he led and I called. And the turn was an X and he led small and I called. And the river was an 8 for queen 10-9, 8. And he checked and I just checked back my aces and he had 10-9 offsuit. So before I lost with kings to his queen 9, I lost with aces to his 10-9. So I forgot to tell that hand. And anyways, that's not the shit that's weighing on me. It's other stuff that the patrons know what it's about. And then I have, you know, plenty of drinks in this sports book / live music bar. I think it was called like Doghouse or something. I don't know. Waitress was great. And I had plenty of drinks. She overserved me, but I'm not going to judge her for that. I don't judge people. And then I wrote in my phone, okay, blacked out now. Let's play some fucking cards. And then I looked at Bravo, and you know, I'm going to settle my tab and walk into this poker room at Resorts World. And the 5-10 broke while I was, you know, decompressing. So I'll play their 2-5 for a little bit, and maybe an hour, just to check out the room. And maybe the people listening to this podcast would like to hear about it. And then I'm going to the Bellagio. I need to play higher stakes. I need to get something going in my life, man. I fucking need to. It's been since 2017 is when I've kind of been on this journey trying to rise again. And it's just been setback, but also some beautiful stuff happening along the way. And anyways, that's the plan. Go play 2-5 for an hour here just to check out the room and then go to Bellagio to play higher stakes. And you can hear all about that, what happens today if you want, because part 2 of this session for week 26, new tattoo, it's in your feeds already if you're a subscriber, patron or not. Sound guy, who cranks out content in the podcast game like we do? I'm serious. Who, man? Where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? I hope you enjoyed this drop of session. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...